Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Thank you, praise team. Thanks, Nate. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here today. You've helped me today. I'll tell you what, tell four people that you love them before we move on, would you? Go tell four people that you love them. Just go tell them. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I love you. We have a number of guests that are here with us today. Would you make our guests welcome this morning? We're glad you're here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Grace Place. Welcome to Grace Place. There's a lot of stuff going on. It feels to me like a lot of people are receiving a lot of different things from the same holy God.
That's a
it's
good
like,
thing.
Just like one God does a whole bunch of good stuff. He touched me today. He helped me today. I'm telling you, since yesterday and all night and then this morning with this crisis, God delivered me, just lifted off my shoulders. Again, the Lord.
Thank God.
The Lord can do what I cannot do. Yeah. He just does good stuff. Don't worry. How many times did Jesus say that? Don't worry. Don't worry. There's no reason to worry. God is in control. God is in control. He's in control. He's in control. The message I'm going to preach to you today has profoundly affected me. As a matter of fact, when I thought about what I was going to say to introduce this to you, it dawned on me that very often I think the message I'm preaching that day is the most important message I ever heard in my life. So here we go again. This is so big to me. What I'm about to tell you, there will be two parts to the message today. One that you would receive just for understanding, and the other will be a challenge to you. I know sometimes when I'm tired, I don't need a challenge. Sometimes if I'm weary, I don't need a challenge. But sometimes if I'm just lazy, I need something to challenge me. Come on, help me now. Help me. Sometimes you need to be challenged. And I'm telling you that what I'm going to say to you today might be for me. I may be preaching to myself, and you may not at all relate. If you don't, tell me how good I did after church anyway. Just please, stop. Don't leave me alone hanging out here by myself, because I have this one verse. Here's what happened. I've been, as you know, some of you might know, been in the Boundary Waters for 3 weeks. I took a bunch of guys up there. Of the 22 men I took specifically, I had 14 men this year that did not know how to fish, had never been in a canoe, never slept in a tent, and it was a challenge. I just want to tell you, it's a challenge. And this is going to make sense. Now, you got to keep these, because everything I'm saying right now is on purpose. I'm going somewhere with you right now. And at one moment, I was, the water's beautiful. I've been in heaven, you guys. It's just beautiful. Joe, when you were talking about Lake Superior and that sun on the water, how you just feel like you could just stay there. Terry wonders at times if I will come home. Here's what I did. I had four men, because there were six altogether, but there were four men at one time who had never held a fishing pole, didn't know how to hold a fishing pole. And we were using spinning gear, which means the reel hangs underneath the rod, and you take the line with your finger and open the bail, and when you cast, all you have to do is point your finger where you want to cast, and they were throwing it everywhere, and the wind was blowing up in the trees, and people were just hooking each other in the ear. It was just kind of fun to do. But my job, now this, I'm going somewhere, stay with me. My job, what God, I feel like deep, deep in my marrow of my bones, is to make sure that those people don't feel ashamed. It's to make sure they don't feel silly or stupid and quit. But to make them feel like you're learning, this is a good thing, so that they don't feel bad about something they don't know. Because when I go up there with preachers and some egomaniacs. People that just have to act like they know. Do you do that? Do you ever just act like you know and you don't know? My wife thought when we first got married that I could do anything. She didn't know. I had her fooled. So, I'm going to read a verse to you, and it's going to be both good for you, and it's going to be challenged. Are you ready for the challenge? If you, okay, here's what I want you to do. If you're ready for the challenge, put your hands out like this and say, bring it. Bring it. Bring it on, Pat. Bring it. I'm ready. Okay, here we go. John 14:9. Can we put that up here? John chapter 14, verse 9. And I said something to Luke. Luke has been working with our young people, has done a wonderful job of organizing and faithfully dealing with our young people on Wednesday nights. Luke, I want to thank you for that. That's right. Thank him for that. You see him up here. He's got wonderful talent. Nate and I talk about him when we're away from Luke about the talent that the Lord has given him and how we might help. And Luke has felt like the Lord is moving him on. So this summer we're going to have a different team working with our young people. But Luke has done a wonderful job. And he mentioned to me the day that he may not get to stay for the whole service. So I went back to him when he was on the guitar and I said, you have to hear this, even if you have to listen to it online today. Because what I'm about to talk about is very important to some of you who feel inclined to minister to people. This is going to be very important to you. This is going to be the blessing to you and the challenge to you. This is John 14:9. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Everybody said, don't you know me? Even after I've been among you such a long time, and here's what got me. I'm laying in the tent alone, probably 10 or 11 days ago now. This has been a 10-day deal in my belly. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is the part. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because we want to quote Jesus. And you need to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I said to him, laying in the bed on a cot, I don't know that I can say that because I have an ego. I get frustrated. He doesn't get frustrated. I'm going to say some big things to you, and I need to know if you even can grasp or even try to just say amen even if you don't believe it. Because what I'm going to tell you is right, and you may not believe it, but I'm right. God does not get angry. He doesn't get angry. God's not frustrated. God is in total control. He knew exactly where this nation would be right now today. 5,000 years ago, he knew exactly where we'd be. He's not worried about who gets elected president. They are as a drop in the bucket. Listen to me. God is not frustrated. God's not angry. God doesn't get his feelings hurt when you make a mistake. You got to get this. He's bigger than all that. He made you like you are. And I'm telling you, the problem is the church does not represent the Father. And he said to me, I heard Jesus in my head. I don't know if you believe that, but I thought I heard Jesus in my head say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I said, I can't say that. I want to be able to say that. I want people to come here and say, when you go to Grace Place, you feel the Lord. I love organization. I think it's important. I'm grieved over the lack of my abilities. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When the Lord shows up, I forget the other smaller things. I need the Lord, right? I want to be able to say to people, if I bring them to our church, you won't be condemned here, not at Grace Place. You'll get help here. You'll be encouraged here. Somebody will love you here. You can find friends here. You can relate. You can look around and say, I relate to these people. Right? And I want to be able to say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's big, Cindy. It's wrecking my world, you guys. Because all the good thing is, the Father shows up. The challenge is, I'm not real faithful with that. He's faithful. He loves me all the time. I've been stupid, and he still loved me. I've gone against him, completely against him, and knew it. I've made fun of this for years because when I was just a young preacher, people talk about falling into sin. I have never fallen in. I've always walked in wide-eyed, ready to go. Come on. You didn't have to get mad. You didn't have to say what you said, but you said it, you meant it, and then you wish you wouldn't have, but you knew what you were doing when you did it. Nobody knocked you upside the head. You weren't dizzy. You were wide awake and being ignorant. Somebody help me. Just say amen. You just say amen whether you believe it or not. The truth of the matter is we do dumb stuff. We say stuff. We do things we shouldn't do. And the truth of the matter is, and nobody will tell you this. Somebody will. He loves you right then in the middle of it. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't turn his back. He doesn't throw a hissy fit. He doesn't slap you upside the head. He's not beating up America. He's not going to curse China. He's not going to destroy the Democratic Party because of certain things they do. He's not going to blow up on the GOP because certain things they do and think. I'm sorry to tell you, some of you just can't wait for the fire to fall. There were two men that came to Jesus when people rejected him and said, do you want us to call fire out of heaven? Because that's what happened in the Old Testament with Elijah. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's not like the Father. Somebody help me. Let me just ask you, is there anybody ever been confused about it seems like there are two gods, Old Testament God, New Testament God? Anybody ever wondered about that? Has there any of you ever wondered about the interpretation of the thoughts that these men had when they wrote? Some of those people wrote and said, God did that. God killed that person. God told me to do this. Listen, look at me. Look at me. They were as confused about the Holy Spirit speaking to them as you are. Thank you, Julie. Help me. This is real deep. I told you, I'm going to mess with you today. I was told, I had a phone call from a guy that lives in, said, stay close to the microphone. I can't always hear what you say when you're online. I don't always hear you. Well, I'm going to tell you plainly, we are confused often. And the people that wrote the Bible were confused. Sometimes they were confused. They didn't know. I know this makes you nervous, but I'm on good ground. They were confused. They were confused about stuff. They didn't understand what Jesus said when he was talking about dying. Peter said, you're not doing that. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know the things of God. You don't know about God. Help me, somebody. And I'm telling you now that I've been so confused in my life, I actually thought God was mad at me 90% of the time, because 90% of the time I was bad. I actually thought if I went to sleep without asking God to forgive me, I might die and go to hell. I lived my life out of fear and anxiety. I lived my life, and my parents lived their lives as ministers to prove to everybody else that we were good, but had nothing at all to do with God. We had egos. We were all about self. God does not have an ego. Think. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't have a reputation to keep. Craig is not here today. He's working. Craig Hooker sent me a thing in the one piece of paper, 2 pages of a book. This page was all about damnation and hell, and this page, I'm talking about 2 pages of the same book. You open the book, and one page said that because God is love, he must destroy sinners because love hates sin and must destroy sinners. The next one talked about our eternal salvation because he cares for us. And Craig sent it to me. And he said, I'm glad you're my pastor. These people are crazy. Because I've decided, I've made my mind up. You know, the word says it's either yes or no. Let your answer be yes or no. I'm going to tell you the answer to me today is yes. God loves me all the time. He does not stop. I was told that he stopped, but I'm proving it's almost 60 years old. He doesn't stop. He doesn't confuse him. God doesn't have an ego. Yesterday, for the first time, I became very aware of the story that has seemingly, I don't know why, but it is just rush. It's taken our nation by storm. This story of Bruce Jenner, the Olympian, who has now become transgender. It's a big story. I've seen little wisps of it. But yesterday I saw a thing where he's talking to his wife about it, and they're both just weeping. And he's talking about this change. And he said that as a child, he was just miserable with himself, and he had all these thoughts, and it was just confusing to him. And I thought to myself, I've never been confused. Now, some of you have been. I haven't been confused about my sexuality. I've been confused about a lot, but I always thought that way. And I thought, how miserable to live your life wondering and not know. Okay? And there are preachers all over the nation preaching, you know, to send a man to hell or her to hell. And I'm telling you this morning, the Lord spoke to me. Rob, get in here. The Lord spoke to me and said, I don't have an ego. God is not self-centered. So I come in the office today. This is my armor bearer. This is Rob Schubert. Would you give appreciation to Rob? Appreciate you, Rob. Armor bearer, trusty, faithful man. I said, Rob, comes to my office. I said, Rob, the Holy Ghost spoke to me this morning. He said, what do you say? I said, I think he said to me, I don't have an ego. Not speaking of me, speaking of him. I think he said to me about an hour ago, I don't have an ego, because I was worried about Christian ideas. I worry about myself, because all my life, the way I think now, was called compromise. They told me I'd get here. They said, you're on a slippery slope. Boy, you start preaching that grace, you'll be slippery. Well, I'm slicker than snot now, guys. She's slick. I'm on a slick downhill slide, baby. So I said, Rob, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about an hour ago and said, I don't have an ego. And then, listen, he goes.
I had to jump back for a second. I said, can you say that again? Because I thought maybe I misheard him. The air conditioning's on and everything. He says, Lord spoke to me and said, I have no ego. And I just knocked my socks off, because about that time I was driving to church.
Today.
And I was thinking about a conversation I had with Nate Wednesday night. If you were here Wednesday night, it was kind of a lighter crowd. It was real comfortable and real casual. And Nate just kind of took over the end of the service, closed everybody out. He felt moved to do that. He actually called me later on that night. I was just getting home. It was about 10:30. He says, hey, I hope I didn't step on your toes or anything like that. I said, no, I got no ego in this. It's no big deal. Well, for some reason, out of the blue, that conversation came up as I'm driving to church about an hour before I talked to Pastor, and the same thing came up. I've got no ego in this. And it's just clear as a bell. It was like the Lord was saying, I've got no ego either. And then Pastor comes in and says that, and I almost had to sit down or fall down, one or the other. So he's still talking, people.
So Rob says to me, thanks, Rob, tells me that story that Nate moved forward and finished the service, and Nate was concerned that maybe he had done something that would, you know, bother Rob. And Rob was pure inside and has no ego. It's not about me. It's about finishing the service or whoever's supposed to be involved. And ego, the self. The individual has an awareness of himself, the part of the psyche which experiences the external world with the senses, egocentric, viewing everything in relation to oneself. Egocentric, self-centered. The only concern is oneself, one's own interest. Look it up. This is from Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. It says, finally, selfish. Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If we have a skewed view of God, then we don't know what he could possibly mean. But when we see what Jesus did and what Jesus said, we have to say, that's like the Father. When he gets a woman at the well in John chapter 4, he doesn't embarrass her or shame her. He hides her from that and keeps her from feeling bad. so that she can hear him. This is all going in my head. Now, you got to remember, now I'm up there with guys that don't know how to fish, and I'm trying to make sure they feel good about themselves. Because you can't get five guys in a canoe. I can only go with one at a time. And there's a sense of knowing. There's a sense of peace. Have you ever been shamed? Is there anybody here that's ever been shamed? Honest to God, deep inside where you were burning inside and embarrassed and ashamed? When they were naked and ashamed, God came and covered them. He didn't expose them. He covered them. Come on, somebody, help me. When Abraham was confused, God said, he's my friend. Abraham's a friend of God. Right? He saw an attribute of God. When Moses asked, God showed him his glory. God is glorious. When Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho on the seventh day, when they shouted that seventh time, Joshua saw the power of God. The whole city fell down flat. Hallelujah. Ezekiel saw him as smoke. Isaiah said, I saw his train fill the temple. Daniel saw him as a lion tamer. Right? All these people saw attributes of God, but Jesus said, when you see me, you see him. Not what he can do. Not just his characteristics, but you see him. And I'm saying the Holy Spirit is saying to our church, go out of here saying, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Say it in your spirit. And if one of your kids gets on your nerves and you got that in your head, you might respond differently than when you were mad. Somebody say amen. He's never harsh. God is never harsh. When people blame God on hurricanes, when people blame God on natural disasters, they're wrong. That's not God. God's the one that goes and helps people pick up the pieces. Hurricanes happen because the wind blows. Come on, somebody. Floods happen because it rains a lot. Right? It's not God. But God helps people through tragedy. We've got to get this in our heads. I've got to get this in your head. When you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father's doing, look at what Jesus was doing. He was picking people up out of the mess. He was taking cancer and healing people of leprosy and healing people that were blind. He didn't make fun of them and say, what's the matter with you? Don't you understand? I've done that. I mean, I had that on my mind up there, saying to a couple of those guys who never, ever got it, went home without knowing. How many times do you want me to tell you the same thing? Calculate the wind. If you throw a lure in the air and the wind's blowing toward the trees, you are going to be in the trees. They think I'm a genius. Honest to God, they think I'm a god. They come home and tell Terry, it's unbelievable. He catches so many fish. No, I don't catch trees. The guy catches so many fish, he catches seven, and I caught one. I know. I don't catch rocks. So I'm just giving you the secret to fishing. But here's the point. You can shame a person. You can put somebody down. And they'll stop trying. Or you can give them hope. And they'll shoot one more time. They'll kick it one more time. They'll cast one more cast. So here's the challenge. Lay your ego down. It's not your reputation that's at stake. If you make a mistake, own up to it. If you're wrong, I was wrong. If you need forgiveness, how many of you know the word forgiveness? How many of you know that word? Does anybody know that word? How many of you know you've been forgiven? Then I'm telling you, if you have seen me and you've seen the Father, then you will forgive. Not hold it against them. Somebody breathe a big sigh of relief. I don't hold it against you. Some of you have been ignorant. Some of you have done wrong stuff. I know some stuff about you. You're forgiven. How about that? Whew. Man, that's great. Why? Because that's what the Father does. He doesn't hold it against us. He doesn't manipulate people with their madness. Somebody help me and say amen. He's not judgmental. He doesn't laugh at you. He doesn't laugh at your behavior. He's not angry at your ignorance. He helps us. He encourages us. If you tell people about Jesus, you're telling people about God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who is he? Who is the Father? We do this on Wednesday nights now, and then I want you to shout out a few words that are real big. I'll give you a couple just to lead you off. Just words that you think about when you think about God. Love. Love, right? Love. Faithful. I've already used that. Give me a word or two that you think about God. One more at a time. Holy, merciful. He's merciful. Let's stay on that for just a moment. How about if we just have mercy on people? Just have mercy. Let me give you an example. If you see kids selling Kool-Aid at a Kool-Aid stand, stop and buy some Kool-Aid. Have mercy on the little critters. Don't drive by. Give the kid a break. Every Kool-Aid stand needs a grace-placed person at it. Don't drive by. What's a buck to you? You don't have to drink the Kool-Aid, but buy it. Yesterday, Terry was driving home because we had to drop the van off. We took the church van with all those people up there, and we came to the church, and she's driving, and there was two kids selling Kool-Aid on the corner. We got about 50 yards past them. I'm saying, stop, stop, turn around. Ah! When we got there and got the Kool-Aid from the kids, she said, you're driving. I'm not doing this. You're making me crazy. So I said to these two boys, what you doing? What are you raising money for? What are you doing? Say, we want to go to the movies. Their parents didn't have money to send them to the movies. Want to go see a movie? I said, well, here's $5. Go to the movies. They didn't know I poured that Kool-Aid out at the next red light. I wasn't going to drink that Kool-Aid. I'm just telling you, it was lemonade and it looked like dish soap. Am I right or not? Now think. Mercy. Kindness. Just trying to make somebody feel good about life. Just trying to help. It doesn't take long. How many of you know that the reward for helping is greater than the effort it took? Am I right? So I'm bringing a message to you today that came to me. When you've seen me, you say it. You've seen the Father. I'm going to say it again. When you've seen me, now you say the first part. You've seen the Father. When I see you, I see the Father. Joe, I appreciate so much what you said today about sailing, because I have in my notes from that day, I have seen the most beautiful sunsets. There's no pollution up north. I've seen the sunset, the grand forest, deep, clear water. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of fish. I've seen bald eagles. I've seen perfect white clouds against a deep blue sky. I've heard rushing waterfalls. The camp that we stay at, you can hear the waterfall from the camp at night when it's perfectly still. All you can hear is the waterfall. I've heard the roar of the wind in the trees. It stormed several times. I've heard the cry of the loon. I've heard the piercing scream of the eagle and the strange tune of a bird that Nate and I cannot figure out what it is. If Nate could... Have you ever heard that? It's a bird that lives up there. Do it again, Nate. We can hear. And they do that back and forth to each other. And then there's a great big one that comes and ends. Can you hear that? That's what it sounds like. You're going, what is that thing? How does it do that? And then there's one that ends the whole concert and ends right on a major note. And Nate goes, oh, God, where's that one? Where is he? We got to find him. And I've heard the stillness of a windless, fog-covered morning and just been amazed at God. I've seen his stuff. I want somebody to see him. I want somebody to see him in me. Would you stand, please? you finish this. When you see me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. Lord Jesus, without your Spirit, truly we're hopeless. There's no good thing in us. But when you transform our minds and you cause us to think right by your Spirit, you are showing up on our planet. Here you are again. And I'm asking you, Lord, to, to lift this congregation to a place of transcendence, higher than religion, higher than requirements, higher than laws, higher than regulations and standards. I pray, God, that you would put in every one of us to be like you, just to be like you, kind, merciful, gentle, faithful. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be patient, Lord. Help me to be like you so that when people see me, they see you. I ask you, Lord God, to prove your love and mercy, your forgiveness to everyone here to the point that we're all convinced that that's what we're supposed to be. Selfless, no ego. It's not about us. It's about you. And you are setting us free today, and I thank you for it. And we're going home having been in your presence. Lift your hands with me. And I bless your people now. I bless your people with a lingering sense of your Spirit. I bless them with the memory of your goodness. I bless them today with peace and joy in the Lord. Peace that the world can't take away, that circumstances cannot shake. I bless them with an anchor for their soul that nothing can change their minds about who you are. I pray the Spirit of revelation of Jesus Christ upon them so they see you in your majesty and in your glory, and they repeat your words and they exhibit your Spirit. In Jesus' name, bless your people today as we leave this place on this wonderful day that you have given us. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands and give thanks. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.